I mean, what one of the things I learned was actually the importance of and the skills of a good manager, and also actually a good union rep. So John McLean was a good union, and John McLean went on to become a full-time officer with the GMB, and actually is their National Health and Safety Officer now. So that was his career progression. It was also assumed that I would do the same thing. I would become the branch secretary, and I'd probably become a full-time union official. I didn't, and really, that's not me, and that's not what I do. I'm not an administrator. I now know I'm reasonably good at communicating, and that's probably my skill. But one of the things I learned was about mechanisation, and that a bad manager will think mechanisation's the answer, or a bad manager will think, a shift pattern's the answer, contractual working. Actually getting the detail right is what's important. Actually getting the detail of a shift pattern that delivers what you want as a manager but actually takes people with you, there's enough incentive in it, matters. And mechanisation in itself isn't an answer. When I started looking at it, the earliest mechanical sweeping machines, I think, are 19th century. There's some wonderful 19th century things, pulled by horses. So it's always been there, but it was a big, big shock in the 1970s to go from broom and barrow, which is how it was with everybody, until Ernie told me that actually they tried it in the 60s, they'd had these big vacuum cleaner things, and actually they hadn't worked because they sucked up all the water as well, and then they'd exploded. So it's been a progression, and a machine in itself isn't good. It's the type of machine, how effective it is, the machine companies are intent on selling you it, and it's quite easy for a bad manager to be persuaded. I'm convinced that one of our managers bought these machines because the saleswoman bought tight jeans and was very attractive. I may be jaundiced. So the nature of the machinery is important, but also actually machinery in terms of cleaning the streets isn't the only answer. You need to be able to budget to have manual cleaning as well, because no machine is going to get the can out of the hedge. It's not going to go behind the litter bins. It's not going to do the detail. If you want to do the detail, actually, you probably need a person there on foot. And also, the public like it. If you're working in a crowded public area, people don't like machines. Kids run away from them. They're frightened. Some elderly people can't hear them. They don't even know they're coming up behind them. So in terms of PR, again, some managers thought machinery was good PR because they were noisy and everybody would know you'd been there. But there's the opposite, actually. It can frighten people. And sometimes, to me, having an Ernie or a Trevor or the guy I worked with again for the last 10 years, Mark Howard, absolutely brilliant, guy in his 30s, he really good at just dealing with the public and doing the job thoroughly. I suppose one of the final comments is, I would have said that an awful lot of the people I worked with had been de-skilled. They had jobs that paid better money. There were a lot of people, there were people in their 50s like Arthur, who had taken on the job because they wanted a job, and their sense of pride had about doing a dirty job hadn't got in the way of it. And we had quite a few army people working there. Again, they left the army, very able people doing the job, because again, I think the army, you learn that, then you go and you do a job, you do it properly. So somehow, and I suppose the other side of it is that when I started, we had quite a lot of people learning difficulties, and because they all went with the with the first contracts they went, they were fantastic. So this is like maybe the public perception of you're stupid. It's what they, stupid is that what you want to call someone with learning difficulties. But actually, they were thorough, they were conscientious, but they took too long doing things, they couldn't drive, and they were actually the victims. We kept one, Charlie Joyner. We kept two, Gary Pollendine. I remember going in. He was really thorough. He used to do Mill Road, but sometimes he'd miss things. No idea, never worked out why. I went in with him to HR because they were going to make him redundant. And I remember the HR girl, Julia, asking him about things. And it turned out, Gary had been teased at school. Gary had worked, I think, at the brewery on Newmarket Road. He'd been on the tray wagons, and they'd moved the wagon away when he was unloading or something, and he ended up having to hold onto the overhead cables. Gary had long hair, lovely pretty little boy, and they'd shaved all his hair. He'd been teased all his life. He'd found a job on the council he could do. He did it well. And Julia, the HR person, ended up being in tears. I was nearly in tears listening to all this. And I remember afterwards being told by my senior manager, not Graham, that I had no right to actually drive HR to tears. But Gary kept his job at the end of it. But again, that's these personal stories. But a lot of we did have more people with learning difficulties, and actually we could not afford to keep them on board. And that's a shame, because actually those people ended up just sitting at home unemployed. And okay, when they're 40, their mother looks after them, but what happens to them right now? And the other one, Charlie Joyner's mother died, and Charlie's suddenly 50, his mother's died. Council wanted the council house back because he wasn't the key holder. All sorts of problems. So there are social problems, really, but there was a mixture of people I've worked with. But the real thing about mechanisation is just, yeah, it's a tool, isn't it? But it's part of a package. And a bad manager just focuses on one way forward and doesn't look at options.